Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? All right, is everybody who is staying in here in here? Can you hear me? All right. We're going to try a little experiment. You have 30 seconds. By the way, is anybody holding a drink that is open? Don't hurt yourselves. No elbowing, no pushing, no biting. 30 seconds, three groups. According to your viewpoint, is OJ innocent? Is OJ guilty? Or who's OJ? Go. 30 seconds, get in the group, find a group. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Go, 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 go. country. What's this over here?
Hip-hop.
What's this?
R&B.
The ladies' man.
What about us?
What's this back here? It's what? R&B and reggae? You guys, okay.
Up here.
What about here? Scott, okay, we got our Sublime fans here.
Everything,
just music and jazz. And you got.
Who said Sublime is the best ska band?
Jack Johnson fans, all right.
I lost respect.
What is going on with my microphone? Okay, one more, all right? Do you know what that's after? I didn't do it.
That's probably what it is.
Oh. Oh. All right. One more, okay? 30 seconds. Birthday month. Find somebody that has the same birthday month. Go.
Suggestions for that too, but let me see if I can figure this out here. If you got your Bible, open up to Luke 8. And if you're going to Google God, I suggest you bring your search engine. And I'll have the scriptures up here. Orlando, can you come tell me why this won't work? Is it not?
may have the scriptures up here. We'll see.
I work.
Okay. I'm just going to read. Does every group have a Bible? Do you have at least one Bible in your group? Okay. I'm going to read it here. Luke 8, starting in verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." His disciples asked him what the parable meant. Verse 10, he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Okay, there's four kinds of people listed here. What are they represented by? You got the path. What are those? What are the people represented by the path? They're the ones who hear, but what happens? They don't believe at all, right? These are atheists. These are people who have allowed their doubts to overtake them. And I want you guys to figure out how a person could be that guy. Okay? What's the second kind of person? It's the person represented by the rocky soil, right? What's this guy? What's his deal? Does he become a Christian?
Yeah.
But then what happens? Okay, so something bad happens, a tragedy occurs, someone dies, he loses his job, and then what? He gives up on his faith, right? That's the second kind of person. The third kind of person is the person who is represented by the weeds. Now, what's the deal with this person? What happens with them?
They're like a bad environment, like a bad surrounding, like a lot
of. Okay. Does this person still come to church? Does it say that they completely fall away from the Lord? Does it say that you'll never see them in a Bible study, that they never read their Bible, that they never pray? What does it say? It says they do not mature, right? So the first two groups, I mean, they're just done for. You probably won't see them at church after whatever it is. But this third one, you may very well. And then, of course, there's the good soil. People that receive the word, retain the word, practice the word, and it says produces. They produce an abundant crop or abundant result in their life, good result. So, for the next, how much time do we have in this class? When are we supposed to be done? Does anybody know?
It's 30 minutes after scheduled time.
Okay. So what? Do you think we have another 30 minutes? Or do
yeah,
we have
about that.
You think we do? Okay, tell you what. Let's take 15 minutes. And what I want you guys to do, you've got a card for each person. Now remember, this is going to be a little weird, but I want you to try this. If you want someone to completely not believe in the Lord, what should they do? If you want someone to become a Christian but then fall away as soon as something bad happens to them, what types of things should they do? What should their habits be? If you want someone to become a Christian, come to church, but then never really mature in their faith, what are some practical suggestions you could give them to wreck their life? Okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to find out as we're given these suggestions, like we're evil people, we're going to learn some of the things we probably ought to watch out for. And then the fourth one, you don't want these people to be the fourth kind of soil. You don't want them to be the good soil, because remember, you want them to wreck their life, not fix it. So you need to write down suggestions for the soil for what they should not do. Maybe some good things, some good habits they should not have. So let's take, is that clear? Okay, is anybody confused? All right. 15 minutes in your groups. Somebody write these down and then nominate somebody to come speak for you too. We'll have 15 minutes, then we're going to share, and it'll be fun. Go for it. All right, most of you guys done? All right, everybody who is a speaker, if you would come on up to the front here. So everybody can hear you. Is every group nominated? Can you guys come on down? Come on down to the front. All right. Got your cards? All right, we're going to start out with the path. The path. How in the world, if you were going to write a how-to guide for someone to remain in unbelief for the rest of their lives, what suggestions would you give them? Go ahead.
Go to college and hang around the pre-med department. They usually know that it's a lot of, you know, faith in what you can do yourself and not of what God can do. A lot of biology, you know, basic stuff, but then they only believe in five senses, the only way you can see. So maybe hang out, just go to college a lot and take a lot of classes.
Is anybody in here at pre-med? Any biology majors in here? I go to church with a pretty well-known molecular biologist, and he's like a devout Christian, but he would probably say kind of the same thing. Yeah, I don't think any of his friends are, but you got any other suggestions?
Let's see. Don't be willing to be changed or open-minded.
Okay. Next, come on down.
They'll never read a Bible, or tell them never to talk to a Christian.
All right, never read a Bible, never talk to a Christian. What you guys got?
Sure. Second guess everything you hear. Find fault in Christians. If you're not emotionally there, don't believe it. Just do what feels good. There's no way to know what's really true. Everything is opinion. Believe in people, or put your faith in people, not God, and do not investigate.
All right. Come on, we got another one over here. What's up, man? How can I be an unbeliever, you know? I know you can tell me. Dang, dude, y'all read a whole book. I can tell who's really evil and who's not. Some of you guys are like, man, I can't do this. And then Hayo's over here like, here you go. Let's get this published.
Kill someone.
That's how you, how do you remain an unbeliever by killing someone?
I don't know. I don't know, lots of people kill people and they're not believers. So,
okay. David kills people and he was a believer.
Touche. Disowned it by his family. Get disowned by your family. Be raped or sexually abused. Be arrogant or self-centered. And death of a loved one. And isolation.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you. I was actually sexually abused when I was a kid, and I mean, a lot of the students that I interact with, that's something that they really struggle with. And it's been amazing to me how that really is a factor for so many people. Go ahead.
Oh, we just said, like, when talking to a Christian, just smile and nod. Like, hear what they're saying, but don't listen to what they're saying.
Okay.
And then just agree to disagree with them.
Okay. What about over on this side?
Don't go to church. God hates you. He doesn't exist. He doesn't answer prayers. And there are more important things than God.
All right.
Yeah, actually, you can become an atheist by spending your time around Christians who are holier than thou, judgmental, hypocritical, and also we kind of pointed out that a lot of atheists come from family backgrounds and teach them to be that way.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
One thing we said was not to approach them again and talk to them about God, being too aggressive with them, and judge them.
Okay.
Be a hypocrite.
Man, we're hearing a lot of the same things, aren't we? That's true. What's up, Laura? What you got?
Don't have Christian friends or family. Close off your heart to the word. Be comfortable. And have what you need already.
Amen. All right, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. All right.
Don't touch my microphone.
Stop it.
They have education, you know. And listen to scientists. They've done the facts. They have the research. They have the chemicals. You know, they have all the details that we don't know about yet. Listen to them. You're right. I'm right. How can all these other people be right and not me? You know, if everybody else out there, how many people are Christians and how many people are not Christians? Is most of the world wrong? Is only a portion of the world right? That can't be true because nobody else does it. I'm not going to church. Why should I go to church? It's taking time out of my life, out of my time. I can go out, have fun with friends. I can go out, I can party, you know. I can see all the cool people. I can drink. I can do whatever I want. Why should I go do something that somebody else wants me to do?
All right, you guys give her a hand. That was a very dramatic reading. Are you a drama major?
I don't even know how to top that. Our group wasn't too evil. We have like one thing on here. I was the evilest person there, and I'm not evil at all. But we pretty much said, how can you believe those words in the Bible? I mean, Ananias and Sapphira were struck by lightning and killed just like that. And Saul killed persecuted Christians, and now he's a believer of God. God just using him behind the scenes, you know, to spread his word, but he's really still killing Christians.
That was all your fault. Good job. All right, what's up?
Hey, can y'all see me? Can y'all see my face?
It looks good. Do you
want to? That's how to make people become an unbeliever, right there. Thank you. What you got?
I know, whatever. I'm
you can't trust reality.
You can have, we move more on like the mindset. You can have a really apathetic mindset. I do whatever I want. Or you can just look at Christians as fools, or you stereotype them as all hypocrites.
Okay, that's good. What's up?
All right, we do this with Zombieland rules, so don't surround yourself with religious influences. Convince yourself that you are superior to everyone and in a religion. Keep on believing what you believe. It will get you far. You're right. When you die, there's nothing to look forward to.
All right. Thank you. Zombie Land rules. Yeah.
But then the question is, why go to church? It's boring. Why wake up ready for church on Sunday when you can party all night on Saturday? Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. Science has proven God wrong. The only people that believe in God are the poor and ignorant. The church just creates wars among people.
Thank you.
Okay, so these people here, but the devil takes away and they automatically disbelieve once everything happens to them. Those that study science use that as religion instead of following God's word, so science is everything. Focusing only on what you can see and what you can't see. Earthly pleasure and not spiritual pleasure. Hear the good things about God, but only see the bad things. Selfish desires. Doubting the truth of what happens after death. Only living in the present, having a disconnection.
All right, thank you. You guys give them a hand. I had a couple here. I think we pretty much covered everything. One of the things I said, and I heard a couple of you mention, is to refuse to submit to the authority of Scripture and to refuse to investigate Scripture's claims, to make up your mind about what the Bible is, whether it's been rewritten over the centuries, whether you can trust it or not, whether the manuscript evidence is there, just to believe that it's not true and that it's been rewritten and to never investigate the facts. Because if you investigate the facts, you will learn that the evidence is ridiculously overwhelming to support Scripture. And so that's really a faith builder. And of course, we don't want them to have their faith built. And then a lot of you guys said it too, refusing to listen to others to accept correction. The book of Proverbs says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. And so if you think you have everything all figured out in your life, and you think you have all the answers, and you're not willing to listen to anybody else, if you're unteachable, you're unreachable. And so if you're working with someone, trying to read someone that is completely unteachable, it's kind of a waste of time. And just refusing to have a conversation with believers. Oh, and one more. Treat God like an academic subject instead of a loving being who desires a relationship with you. If you want to lose your faith, just reduce God to academia. Don't look at him as a loving being who really wants to get to know you and wants to love you. All right, let's move on to the rock, and we'll move down here to the end. If you want to become a Christian but then lose your faith as soon as something bad happens, what can you do?
Tell the person to lose all the family and tell them that God will tell them that he's going to let you down.
Okay. Well, we said what we're going to tell them, so tell them not to read their Bible, purposely put temptations in their path that they struggled with before, and do not support or encourage them.
Okay, thank you.
You could get involved with the wrong crowd, even the wrong crowd in church. You could go to a church that doesn't support you or push you or check on your faith, and you could blame God for any sort of trials and tribulations instead of asking your Christian bros.
All right, thank you.
God wasn't there, blame him and give up easily.
All right, good.
Don't study enough to be grounded in your faith. Only find what scriptures work for you. Become a fair-weathered fan for God, and don't pray enough to build a relationship with God.
All right, thank you.
Don't believe you have to go to church on Sunday. Don't believe once saved, always saved, and after that you don't have to do anything. Don't read scripture, and don't change your surroundings.
All right, thanks.
Be angry.
Be angry.
Is that all you got?
Is that it?
I mean, there's other stuff that you can do. I mean, that could happen.
David was angry.
Be alienated.
Questions God's power and authority when going through rough times. Find other outlets for dealing with your stress or pain. And then surround yourself with people to tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear.
Woo! Good one.
Have an unfirm foundation, have hardships, be churches hypocritical, don't read the Bible, don't seek counsel, don't pray, have unchristian friends.
Good. Come on.
Hang out friends that you like at parties, clubs, go with the flow. Be a negative person, be a pessimist. Don't tell the people what you're going through, what struggles you're having. They'll just judge you. You don't want rejection. You don't want somebody to look at you like, you know, you're less than them. Everybody else that's already a Christian is so much better than you. If you just tell them what you're struggling with, you know, you're just going to look worse than they are. You don't want to be worse. I can't afford to be a part of church. Every Sunday I go to church and everybody's giving money. And is that what the church is about? You know, why should I be a part of something that I can't afford to give every Sunday? I can't afford my time either. Is that what being a Christian is all about?
Thank you. My bad. Can't be two in a row.
As long as you believe in God, you don't need church or the people that go to church. When things happen to you in your life, blame God. And instead of surrounding yourself with people of God, go do stuff to end your life. Drink, shoot around with other people, shoot up.
Yeah, that's right.
Just be spiritually undisciplined and just let your emotions get the best of you.
Thank you. Good job. You had more on that card. What else does it say?
Am I supposed to read all of them?
Yeah. Read me the best one.
Do I have to? Never mind. Avoid prayer and time in the Bible. Just be a part-time Christian. Just have no discipline. Avoid wise Christians or wise counsel. Just buy into your emotional highs, and you know, just follow your heart.
Follow your heart. Yeah, there you go. Just like all them stupid chick flicks that you guys have to watch with your girlfriends and tell you to follow. Just listen to the advice in them. Anyway,
all right, don't read your Bible. It's pointless. Base your experience solely on emotions. Don't search for the truth. Make up your own as you go along. Once you're baptized, the journey's over.
Oh, yes. That was really good. Especially the emotions one. Just base your entire experience on your emotions. In other words, if you go to a retreat and have a great weekend, and little Susie holds your hand, and you're feeling all good, and Jesus is awesome, and you have this spiritual high, go ahead and put all of your stock in that feeling and that emotion, and your whole conversion experience, you know, as long as you feel it, it's real, right? But then you get home and the grind hits and you're not on that high anymore and suddenly Jesus ain't so cool.
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Okay, in living your Christian life on the rock, you know, constant tragedy will get you down. Living rough lives continuously, constant abuse, constant injustice, asking God why all the time, just asking him why are you doing this? Taking glory for yourself. Emotional conviction, but do not change. No application to the word.
Amen. Thank you for being evil. Good job. What's up?
Why do I need God when I can do everything on my own? Don't follow God. He takes up a day out of my week. Why believe in God if he still lets bad things happen to me?
Very good. Very good. A lot of you guys say the same kind of stuff again. We're just going to run through this last one. Let me give you a couple that I had. Refuse to plug in to Christ-centered community. And how about this one? Make sure to come to church late and then leave early. Because the last thing you want to do, and those of you that are chronically late, you might go to heaven, but it's debatable, okay? Come late, leave early, because you do not want to form a relationship with any of the people at that church. You don't want that, because if you form those relationships, that's going to screw you up, man.
Amen.
That's going to screw you up. You don't want those. Don't come to Bible studies. Make sure it's a very low priority for you to come to your campus ministry events. Because God may have a message just for you. And he doesn't want you there. Because you've got this thing in your life, and your life is right. I mean, he wants you there, but we don't want you there because we're evil, right? Don't come to the Bible studies. Make sure that's a low priority. Don't come to retreats like this. Come up with some sort of excuse. I mean, St. Patrick's Day was a couple of days ago. Come on! That's a good excuse right there. Refuse to ask others for help when struggling, because Galatians 6 says, if somebody's caught in a sin, and you who are spiritual should restore them gently, if you carry each other's burdens, this isn't what it says at all, but I'm evil, so it's cool. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. So if you're around people that are going to help you carry your burdens, you don't want that. And here's the big one on this one. All right? View God as a vending machine. Just view him as a vending machine. Because if you go up to the vending machine, and you say the prayers, and you go to the church services, and you're pushing the right buttons, and then that, what happens when that little snack, that little Snickers bar, that little bag of chips comes up and it gets stuck right on the end? What you gonna do? You're gonna get mad at that vending machine, right? You're gonna show that vending machine what's up. Yeah, treat God like that. Just treat God as your sugar daddy. Treat him as an avenue to get what you want in life. And then as soon as life gets hard, just ditch him. Just ditch him, all right? All right, last one. We got to run. We're out of time. Vines, weeds. If you wanted to tell somebody how to get choked out, life's worries, riches, and pleasures, what would you tell them?
Tell them to go out and live a double life and be a hypocrite.
All right, good.
Dwell on your current situations. Feel guilty about your past.
Thank you.
You could go to church and just put up some blinders and shake some hands and hear a sermon and then head to the house.
All right.
If anything happens, any sin is a problem in their life, then just don't worry about it. Just, you know, let it keep on eating at you. And if anything in your faith ever causes you any sort of uncomfortableness, you ever get uncomfortable, just stop right there.
All right. Thanks, man. You want to make sure you're comfortable all the time.
Don't improve your relationship with God.
Okay. Thank you.
He's still lying.
Okay. Well,
put yourself first. Don't ever be concerned about other people's opinions. God wants you to be rich. Don't get too open or close with other Christians.
All right. Thanks, man. Thank you for watching Joel Olstein.
not mature, be rebellious, be arrogant, prideful, self-righteous, bad relationships, and be a vampire Christian.
Yes, thank you. Team what, Edward? Or yeah. Blythe?
Team Edward.
Okay.
Find ways to stay too busy for God. Find excuses for not reaching out. Set goals that the world values. Compare your Christian walk to others and respond with, oh, I'm doing okay. Then believe the lies of the world that it's okay to have your cake and eat it too, and then just fake it.
All right, good job, thank you. Laura.
Go through the motions, go to church only on holidays, face your joy and winter, and go to home.
Thank you. All right, we got to move, let's go. All right.
Okay, don't treat your body like a temple, you know, it's yours, it's not God's. Let's see. Don't do Bible study. Don't evangelize. Don't help anybody out. There's this old person walking across the street, and they've spilled groceries all over the floor. Don't help them, because other people will see that. And you don't want other people to see your example. Where are you? What you want? You know, if somebody else has to sin because of it and they falter, who cares? It's your body. You look good, honey. That's it.
All right, thanks. There you go, man.
Make church or your college group or youth group just a social group instead of a place where you can grow on your faith. And who cares about really getting to know the people and making relations with the people? I mean, you have enough to worry about.
Right on, dude. Thank you.
Become preoccupied with materialism, be quote-unquote religious, focus on earthly success, and please men instead of Christ.
All right, thanks.
Don't take anything seriously. Don't seek wise counsel. Listen to anyone. And again, we put, once you're baptized, the journey's over.
Good.
Yeah, going to church on Wednesday and Sundays, I feel that's good enough for me. And baptized, once I'm baptized, I'm already saved. And why do I need to pray out of church?
All right.
Live the American dream. Don't get connected. Sweat the small stuff. Mixed identity, stresses and worries, status and power.
Amen. All right, you guys give them a hand. Go ahead and sit down. Thank you guys for participating in that. Really, the weeds, guys, this is the most insidious one because this is the one where you just don't mature. And I taught this lesson a couple of times before, and my view was the weeds. I believe that a lot of people that make up churches in general today are this third kind of person. They'll still come to church, but they're not Christ-centered. Their lives are centered around their career. They're centered around their kids. They're centered around their family. They're centered around all kinds of things other than Jesus. But they still show up on Sundays. They have like this sense of duty to show up at church. They have this sense of duty to go through all of the motions because they know that that's what you're supposed to do. But if you get down to it, and I didn't point this out earlier, but if you ask them, is Jesus God? They'll say yes, but he's really more like a life coach or a self-help guru. And to be honest with you, if you get Jesus wrong, if you get the question, is Jesus God, wrong, all that other stuff's going to go to waste. But this is these suggestions here for the weeds. Never truly repent. Refuse to get rid of sinful habits. Stay addicted to porn. Stay addicted to whatever it is that you have. Just have a bad attitude. Never get over it. Never repent. Constantly spend time with people that are bad for you. And here's a good one. Date people that don't share your faith. Date the loser, ladies, that sleeps between Star Wars sheets and lives with his mom when he's 35 and doesn't believe in Jesus. That's the guy that you want to be with. That way, you'll be... Are you serious? Okay, she's like, yeah. Yeah, don't do that. Get a guy that can take care of you. We got some Star Wars fans. Yeah, get the guy that can speak Klingon and get him to come back. And I'm not going to talk about the ladies, because I can only talk about the ladies when it's just guys in here, because I don't want you guys to get your feelings hurt. Have a serious romantic relationship with someone that doesn't share your faith, and make sure you have sex with them. Make sure of that, because you want the most intimate relationship you have with another person to be with someone who's not a follower of Jesus. Never confess your sin. Never exercise your spiritual gifts. We're going to go ahead and wrap up because we're out of time, but This was kind of hard for me to do the first time, and to be honest, it caused me to be introspective. And it caused me to realize some habits that I have that maybe I shouldn't have, and some attitudes that I have that maybe I shouldn't have. And so I'm hoping this will be meaningful to you. And we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to break out. And are we doing singing out here?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and pray, guys. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together this weekend. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for giving us one another. And I pray as we've done this silly little activity where we've been playing the evil people that we will really take seriously maybe some of the things we hadn't thought of tonight. Maybe some of the things about how important it is to be a part of a Christ-centered community. Maybe how important it is to have you truly at the center of our life, where Jesus isn't just our life coach, he's not just our self-help guru, he's our Lord and he's our master and he's our Savior. And we actually believe that and live day to day like it's true. Father, I pray for those here who are struggling with their faith, people that are struggling with belief, people that are looking for answers. I pray that you put it on their heart to truly investigate what you have to say and what history has to say and what is truly out there in the form of evidence. Because God, I've done that myself and it has been so overwhelming that it just strengthened my faith exponentially. And Father, I pray you bless the rest of our weekend. I pray we get a good night's sleep tonight. And in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys. You're dismissed.